Hello, my beautiful people, and welcome to Up Level Together podcast. Please to up level in every aspect of your life, from personal development to mindset and spirituality to business tips and relationships building. We bring you best interviews, tools, and inspiration where one episode can change your whole life. Here's your host, Jasna Borza. Hello, my beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of Up Level Together. I love you all. I love your emails about these episodes. I love you listening to it. I love you sharing it. And I love the fact that we up level together, because you know what? When I'm better off, you're better off. And when you're better off, I'm better off. I just said that, didn't I? And when I'm better off, you're better off. We just need to really get out of the way of competition and, you know, individualism, only me, and realize how freaking brilliant we all are, and how when we support each other, we all do better. So I'm just so grateful for all of you for being here. Thank you. Oh my goodness, I'm bringing you so many absolutely incredible things in the coming months that I want you to stay tuned for. But one of the biggest, most important things that I have to, must tell you about it is the Minneapolis Up Level Together Mastermind. Started 6 years ago, randomly sent an email to some of my clients saying, hey, let's get together. Together we're better. And it was this magic. I'm like, we have to continue. This is incredible. Let's do it. And it really started so organically. It's kind of a story of how things, when there's passion and it's the right timing, just completely grow. Up Level Together Mastermind is for women and men with an idea, a side hustle, or a flourishing business that needs a little oomph. So if you're looking to learn the methods in marketing in 2019, learn how to, you know, position yourself, how to sell yourself, sell your service, sell your product, learn how to, you know, do better in a community, be more visible, like show up and actually tell the people what the heck you do. And if you feel like you're on your own and no one gets you, then you literally need a tribe. I cannot stress that enough. So Minneapolis Up Level Together Mastermind is a placeholder for all of your dreams. It's a placeholder for magic, for implementation, for action. I tell every time, you're going to get more out of these 5 months than you will in a year. And that, I stand by that, or money back. Right? Money back guarantee in that way. It is such a humongous investment. So if you think about it, you know, people say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to try to do all of this on my own. And then they struggle to increase their prices. And then in a mastermind, you get this like, oh my goodness, I'm good. You get the courage and the confidence to increase your prices. You immediately get all your money back. That can sometimes take you 2 or 3 years. I, speaking personally, that's, you know, money beliefs, money blocks has been something I have struggled with my whole life and continue to like hit against. So having those conversations, having the empowerment, talking about mindfulness, when you feel so loved and supported by people in your community, and let's talk about local community, which is why even today's speaker is going to be so important. You know, we delegate our power and look up to others all over the world, but what about our own backyard? So this mastermind is an in-person mastermind for people in the community, local people who are going to have your back, support you, come to your events, love you up, and help promote you and be a personal and biz besties for life. I can't stress that enough. Just the few masterminds I've been in have already completely changed my life. And I know it's such a cliche, but it's so true, because when you get in the room with the right people, it's inevitable. And I think for me, my accountability partner alone and my roommates, if that was the only thing I had ever gotten, like, oh my God, what a gift. But it was like so, so, so much more. So if you want more information, DM me or go to yasnaborza.com/mastermind and just check it out. Give yourself a chance to not be cynical. Give yourself a chance to actually, you know, consider an idea of investing in yourself. You know, another thing is we want people to invest in us, in our products and services. Do you do that for yourself? Right? What does that say about you? Closed fist cannot receive. So if you're not giving, then you're not receiving as well. So it's really a good way to check your money beliefs. Really, really, really would love to continue to chat about this. Now on to the conversation with today's guest, Jenna Redfield, founder of Twin Cities Collective. Now, there are few people that I meet for the first time and connect right away, and Jenna was most certainly one of them. Here's this young woman who literally created one of the largest communities in Minnesota for creatives, bloggers, and entrepreneurs, and she continues to create content and she has a Twin Cities Collective podcast that's so inspiring and has such great speakers. And I have loved Jenna ever since I met you. In fact, she was a member of the Uplevel Together Mastermind. She's an alum. So we really attract the best and the grandest. So we talk about this power of the community. I wanted to interview her because so many of us have an opportunity to do something like this, but there's risk, right? So we don't do it. How did Twin Cities Collective come to be? How did it? Why did she do it? I wanted to know all of these things, and I really, really wanted her to give us an insight into what it took and what, you know, where she struggled, etc. And then she gives us an insight on Instagram and social media marketing and video marketing. I mean, this is the woman that really continues to constantly learn and be of service. And I, first of all, can't recommend her enough to follow. And if you're local, you have to be part of the Twin Cities Collective because they just do so many cool events. And I just love her as a human being, her integrity. Like, it's just so rare to find someone who actually really wants to make a difference in such a positive way and has the integrity. Like, she really, really, really cares. And I just absolutely love her. And I think it's absolutely important to create local communities. No matter what happens, we need to, find who is in our own backyard and not forget the power of the local connection and the community. And she's one of the best community engagers that I know. Loved this interview so much. I love Jenna. And I think that you will love listening to the story of someone who just had this idea of bringing bloggers together and then the evolution of a group and how she's just being flexible and how she's, you know, trying new things and why she's launching often and failing quick and why that's really important for so many of us who are afraid to put anything out there and why that's, you know, the secret behind some of the success. But just also this pillar in our community, and I think it's really important to talk about it and talk about her. So enough about that. I'm going to let us go jump right into the interview and really use it, listen to it, and I hope that you find a teaspoon of inspiration in your own life wherever that finds you. Here's Jenna Redfield of Twin Cities Collective.
Jenna Redfield, I am so unbelievably excited to have you on. Welcome to Uplevel Together.
Thank you for having me.
I just totally tugged on my wire here. So
oh, no.
that's how excited I am. Truly, you and I, ever since I have met you, it was like, I love this woman. I want to be in her orbit. And I am just in the last few years, I've really grown to know you, respect you, and everything that you have done. Now, folks have just heard all the amazing things in the intro that you have done, that you continue to do for our community. But I would really like to start by taking them back to the beginning. You know, how the Twin Cities Collective, this largest, incredible group for creatives, entrepreneurs, bloggers, how did it come to be? Tell us like the origins, because I don't think people even know how we got started.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have to go back even like 10 years before, just to kind of give a brief background, because I'll talk about this a little bit. But when I was in high school, I discovered YouTube and I discovered video, and it kind of set me on a path to the creative world. In college, I was a video production major. And so I went to LA and I realized about junior year that I was like, hey, you know what? I really like social media a lot and I kind of want to pursue that instead of video. So senior year, I learned a lot about social, but at the end of the day, this was a couple years ago and social media was so new, they didn't have a lot of classes in college about social media. And there was not a lot of job opportunities either. It was kind of a brand new thing. And so when I graduated, I really struggled with finding a job for a long time. Like I had jobs, but they were part-time and it was just, you know, and so I had a lot of free time. And so I spent a lot of my time learning how to use WordPress, how to blog, how to set up my YouTube channel, how to do all those things. And one day I remember this very specifically, I was at the Ridgedale Library, which is a local library in Minnesota. I was on Facebook and I discovered this group called Minnesota Bloggers. And I was a blogger at the time. And so I joined the group, went to an event, and that was where my interest in networking events started. And then I was in that group. And then there was another group that was created that I found called Twin Cities Blogger Collective. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll join this one too. And so I went to an event with them. And then about a year passed and nothing else had happened with either of these groups. And this was in 2016. And one day I was on Facebook and the girl that ran Twin Cities Blogger Collective posted, hey, I'm moving to Denver. Whatever, you know, she was just like, okay. And then I was thinking, well, what about this group she runs? What's going to happen with that? There was only about 100 people in it. It was really small. And so I went in and I sent her a message on Facebook and said, hey, what do you do with this group? Do you have anyone that's going to be running it? And she's like, hey, if you want it, you can have it. And I was like, sweet. So then she gave me the Instagram, which I think had about 800 at the time, and the Facebook group. I became the admin. And then there was this other Minnesota bloggers group that I'd originally found years earlier. And this is the best part of the story. So I go in because I was like, you know what? This group is dead too. Maybe I could like take over this one also. So I go into this Minnesota bloggers group and I look to see who the admins were. Turns out one of them was my cousin. My first cousin.
Wow.
Melissa. And she had moved to Seattle. She was like a mom blogger. And so I messaged her and I said, hey, how are you the admin of this group? And she's like, I don't even know I was the admin. That's how like disorganized the group was. And so basically I asked her, could I take over this group? And she said, yes. And so basically what I did was I told everyone in that group to move over to the Twin Cities Blogger Collective because we're going to be merging the two groups. And then I shut down the Minnesota bloggers group. So there was all in one group. So I think there was about 300-400 in there at the time. And then since then, I changed the name to Twin Cities Collective. It also includes bloggers, but I wanted to add on a lot of stuff about small business, entrepreneurs. So that's actually the real story of how it started. I never really went into this wanting to do it, but when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, I got to take this because I don't know. I just felt like it was right. And I felt like it was like meant to be.
But isn't that the definition of an entrepreneurship? Taking a risk, seeing something, yeah. Just running with it. You did that. Like, mm-hmm. I remember you telling me the story, which I'm so excited people will get to know. You're like, as if it was like, oh, it wasn't a big deal. Someone else has started already. I'm like, no, you did it. It would have been bad if you didn't do it. And you grew it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
You grew it to this incredible body in our community. I feel like I'm always talking about you and Kylie, about the things that you have done in our community, creating the space for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. What was your goal when you first started? Did you expect it that it would be such a big body?
No. Honestly, the reason I wanted to start it was I wanted to build like a directory of bloggers. I'm not kidding. That was like the goal. Was I was like, I just want a place where people can like find each other. That was like my whole goal. I wasn't planning for it to be a business. I think the thing I said was, let's see where it goes, you know? And I don't know why, but ever since I took it over, it's been like the thing that has pushed me. I've never lost fire with it, which I have with a lot of the other businesses I've started. I felt like over time, I'm like, this is kind of boring. Like, you know, you lose the oomph for it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with Twin Cities Collective, I don't know, ever since I took it over, I've just had this fire to keep it going and to just push it. And I've definitely spent a lot of time on it, and it's a lot of my life, and it's become basically a part of me. And yeah, it's been crazy.
It's beautiful. It really is. I see it as a placeholder for people to come together, to connect, to mm-hmm. share struggles, to share resources. But you also do so many trainings on social mm-hmm. media, video marketing, networking. I mean, tell us all the things that now you want to do within the community that people are asking for.
So the biggest one is Instagram. I've done the most workshops and trainings, online courses on Instagram. I feel like it's a very popular platform, and I feel like that is our biggest platform as well. So people know that I'm good at growing that. But lately I feel like it's a lot of things beyond social media, even websites, SEO, just kind of like the general online marketing. And then also the actual stuff like time management, things that have to do with business, you know, mental health, that kind of stuff is kind of coming to the forefront that I've done a lot of the technical stuff, and I feel like I haven't really covered the theoretical kind of, you know, everyday occurrences. But I feel like I love doing in-person ones because everyone in our group is local and they can actually come and see and meet each other. And that's my favorite part. So I do have online courses, but that's mostly just for the people that couldn't make the live one. And so I really, really, and you actually were on our live podcast in, I think that was in June. And so stuff like that is like, I think the future, doing a lot more events where we have speakers, panels. We have had two panels this year. Just kind of figuring out what I want from the events and what other people ask for. I take a lot of feedback very directly, and I feel like I actually act on the feedback, because what people want, you know, that's what they're going to go to.
That's I think that's brilliant. And by the way, that panel, the live podcast, was so brilliant. I felt like it was such an incredible conversation.
Yeah. I really liked it.
I would want to come to more things like that. Yeah. How do you balance your own vision direction for Twin Cities Collective? Like, let us in on what you want that vision to be versus taking the feedback, right?
Yeah, I think that's a hard thing, because I have interests that I know the group maybe doesn't care about, you know, so it's figuring out what do I like that I think the group will also like. It's kind of a compromise. There are things that I get super nerdy about that I'm like, no one cares, trust me. So I think for me, it's okay, what are the things that I still really like that I also think the group will like? And because if it's not going to sell, I did an event once, we got 2 sales and I had to cancel it, because it was just something where I was like, oh, I'm sure everyone will love this. And no, I market it the exact same way I market every event, and it was like crickets. And I was like, okay, you know, so I do a lot of trial and error. A lot of things that I launch, I learn from every single thing I try. We've launched shirts, we've launched, you know, membership, like we've launched a lot of things, and I've learned every time what I like, what the group likes. It's kind of, and I've never done any of this before. When I launched the podcast, I had no idea if I was going to like it, if people were going to listen. And the fact that I've kept it going so long actually surprises me a lot, because I thought I would do it for maybe 6 months, you know, and give up, you know.
But it shows that there's an incredible quality that you bring to the table. And I think you're an incredible interviewer, and you really bring some interesting people as well.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, because I feel like you have, going back to you executing, getting the feedback, you know, having the ideas and trying different things. I really want to go there for a second, because I think it's important. Tell us how is it that you actually have an idea and then decide to follow through on it? Because so many people get stuck in not doing anything, but you actually followed through, which is brilliant. Not satisfactory, so to speak, outcome.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had a fear of launching things. I don't know. I think that's the thing, is people fear the rejection. And I do feel that. But I feel like the not doing it is a worse outcome. I feel like by sitting on something and not actually taking action on something will be worse than failing. And honestly, I think that, like, I'll give you an example. There's been things where I have spent 2 months planning a launch and it launches and it's like not great. And then there's something where I thought of something the day of, I announce it and it kills. So it honestly, I'm the kind of person where if I have an idea, I act on it right away. Cause I'm like, I don't want to spend forever planning this if it's not, it might not work. So it's like, if I could just get this off the ground right away, I don't have to spend a month planning.
That is such a brilliant advice. Is that your advice for everyone?
Yeah.
Launch something?
Well, I mean, sometimes you want it to be quality. You don't want to launch something when it's half done, but I wouldn't spend forever launching something because you don't know if it's going to work or not. And then you've spent 3 months creating something that doesn't work. So the example I'm giving is I launched this Best of Awards. It came to me, like, I was just sitting on my computer at like 9 a.m. I was like, oh, we should do like a best of, like, you know, people can give their favorites in the Twin Cities. So I put together this Google form. I'm not kidding you. It's the best thing we've ever done. Like in the 3 years that we've done something, it had the most traction out of anything. It had the most, it was insane. It went viral basically. And this was something I literally did in an hour. And then it ended up being a much bigger thing than I expected. And then it took up a couple weeks of my life. But now this year I'm doing it again and I'm planning ahead this time. Cause I know that it did well the first time. I'm like pretty confident it's going to do well this time again.
Of course it will. That's it. Because yeah. It is, I think it brings us all together, which is really mm-hmm. brilliant.
Yeah.
So I would love to, you know, talk a little bit about the space of community. So you mm-hmm. are really a builder of communities, whether mm-hmm. it's online or in person. Why do you think it's important to build a community around it, especially local community? Because what I find a lot of us are delegating to gurus online and, you know, going into their groups. But talk to me about the importance of staying local.
You know, it's funny. I just found out I got a TEDx audition. Which is very exciting. I don't know if you'll listen to this and maybe I didn't get the actual, but the pitch I had was basically why I decided to stay local instead of doing everything all over the world. And the reason is because I need to see people in person. I have had businesses online where I wasn't able to see people face to face and I just hated it. It felt like so cold to me. That's just my personal preference. I'm an empath, so I feel like I get a lot of emotions from the, you know, body language, nonverbals. I just really like to sit and talk with someone versus emailing or, you know, even Skype sometimes. I just don't enjoy it as much. So for me, and I don't travel a lot either. So everyone has to kind of live near me if I want to talk to them in person. And so that to me is something that a lot of people I think disregard in the times of the internet, because you can reach anyone anywhere. But for me, I'm like, I personally love the idea. And I also love the idea of small businesses. I don't know why, but I think that there's such a cool thing in wanting to start a local small business where you're servicing the community. And I would say 80 to 90% of those people struggle with marketing. And so I think there's a real need for even like the brick and mortar shops. And so that's kind of another passion I have, is helping those who are just in the community. And maybe they're not going the corporate route. Maybe they're just launching, you know, a gym or a restaurant. Like, those are the people I really like helping.
That's really, it's really neat. You know, you and I feel the same. I'm an in-person person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that there's some people who really do well online. It never really worked for me that much. I love to do that, which is why 90% of all my services and work is locally. Yeah. People have mm-hmm. asked me, why don't you branch out? Why don't you open up an Instagram to be, or mastermind to be national? I think there's power. There's a thing that we're neglecting in our community. When all else goes away, we have people in our community who
support us. I mean, if Instagram and the internet completely shuts down tomorrow, I can still go and meet my friend. Like, I can mail her a letter and be like, hey, let's meet at the coffee shop or something, you know. Like, I feel like it's something that won't go away.
It won't ever go away. Well, I don't even think social media will ever go away either. That's so interesting.
True.
in working with a lot of the business owners, creatives, and you've done this for how many years now?
Coming up 3 years in August.
3 years.
It's been for Twin Cities Collective,
Okay. So, but you've been in this industry for such a long time. What are you noticing, the feedback from others? What do they struggle with? What are the biggest pitfalls? And any guidance that you could give them?
Well, I think that one of the things I'm working on with a lot of my coaching clients is figuring out which platform to be on. A lot of people think that they should be on certain ones, but maybe that's not the right one, or maybe they don't know how to repurpose their content. So it's a lot of time management stuff. It's a lot of, okay, well, I know I should do this, but I don't have the time. You know, what's the actual outcome? I think that's the other thing too, is the nice thing about marketing and online marketing specifically is you can know whether or not it works. You can know if someone clicks on a link versus like traditional marketing on a TV or a billboard. You don't know where people are coming from. It's a kind of a shotgun approach where you're like, I'll try everything. And now it's like, you can get so specific. And I think people want the feedback and results right away. And I think that's what the internet has created, is that instant gratification of, I know that I'm spending money on a Facebook ad and I got this many clicks and I got this much out of it. And I think people are struggling knowing which route to go. And that's something I think I'm pretty good at, is determining, looking at their business, okay, which platform should you be on based off of maybe your target market, or based off of your budget, based off of the time you have to spend. Because if you can't spend the time, you're going to have to hire someone to do it. So that's kind of the things that I think I'm pretty good at, is kind of helping people. And I feel like right now, people, video is huge. I still am a huge advocate of Pinterest. I've been really busy on Pinterest lately. It's not really a community builder at all. It's very much link-based. It's very search-based, but you get a lot of traffic from it. Instagram, obviously, is the community. I feel like I get the most enjoyment out of that from a personal perspective, because I get to talk to people a lot. Obviously, Instagram Stories is blowing up, and IGTV is right there with it. I think that's going to be the next thing. I've been using that a lot lately for my podcast. I'm just trying to think of other things. But yeah, those are kind of the routes people are going. People want that connection. And I think that the platforms that offer that are going to be continuing to do well. LinkedIn is the other one that I absolutely love.
Well, this is really interesting, because you really suggest, which is what you and I talked about so often, instead of being everywhere, find a place suitable for you and your business that you enjoy and just go all in there. Right?
Yeah. I would say pick two. I have always said that pick two platforms. Most of the time for people, it's Instagram and Facebook. Sometimes for, I would say the older generation, it's Facebook and LinkedIn. Sometimes for the techies, it's Twitter. I'm not really into Twitter as much. I only go on there for like fun. I don't actually, and for news, I don't really actually use that as a way to promote my business. But honestly, I'd say pick two. YouTube is another one that I feel like is kind of an all-in thing. If you're going to do it, you're going to have to invest a lot. You're going to have to figure out how video marketing works. But what I love about video in general is, if you create it for one platform, you can post it on all of them. I post the same video on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and that way it reaches different people in different ways.
That's incredible. I'm a huge fan of repurposing. Huge fan. Actually, I'm hoping this video will find its way to YouTube.
There you go.
So let's go to social media now that you have really kind of sort of segued there. You are one of the utmost experts in our community when it comes to primarily Instagram and video marketing. I would love for you to give us an overview. You've touched upon some of those. What are the big trends that you're seeing? And what are the long-term, so trends are the things that may be here or not be here in 6 months, but what are some of the strategies that really never change no matter what platform you're on that will be really beneficial for people?
Yeah. You know, it's funny when I talk about platforms, one of the ones that I haven't talked about that I'm not even on is TikTok. It's actually TikTok. Yeah. It's like the new Musical.ly, if you know what Musical.ly is. It's kind of, okay, it's definitely like the under 20 crowd. I will say it's definitely young, and I'm over 20, and so I feel like too old for it, but it's blowing up. It's all video. It's kind of like music video where you film your own. It's kind of weird. I haven't really been on it before, but you know, that's a trend. You know, I don't know if TikTok's going to stay around. Just like Snapchat, I'm like, I don't really use Snapchat anymore. So it's like some of these platforms come and go, but I think the thing for sure that's always going to be there is getting people's attention. No matter what the video is, no matter how long it is, if it keeps their attention, there's been a trend over the last, I would say 2-3 years on YouTube that like 30 minute videos are doing really well. Longer form, almost documentary style. An example is Shane Dawson. He's really, really popular on there. He has very, very long videos. And he only comes out with them once every 3-4 months. So he actually spends a lot of time on them. But then there's all, you know, but people on Facebook are like, you have to be under 2 minutes or people aren't going to watch. I feel like it depends on how long they're planning to spend watching it. I just watched a BuzzFeed video. Usually BuzzFeed videos are under 10 minutes. I watched one the other day, it was 30 minutes. I was shocked. I was like, I've never seen a BuzzFeed video this long. So to me, they're the, like, to me, a tastemaker. They're the ones who kind of know what's going on with analytics. To me, the fact that they're creating longer content, it shows that I think that they have understood that that's what people are wanting. People are wanting to not like be crazy all the time in their head, going from a 2 minute video to a 2 minute video to a 2 minute video, but actually sitting and actually digesting something that is worthy of content. So that's something, I don't know if that's a trend or if that's something that maybe will continue to grow, is longer form content, but Instagram actually cuts it off at about 10 minutes for their IGTV. So I feel like that is actually a good amount of time to create a video, is under 10 minutes personally, but depends on the video.
That's true. I think I can post videos much longer on IGTV.
I think, I don't know. Maybe, I'm not sure. It might be depending on the number of followers you have. I'm not sure how that works.
It's so interesting though, because there's, you know, I think that I think at the mercy of like what's working, what's not, IGTV or stories. And I think I want to ask a question about the chaos of it all in a little bit. But what are the things that never change no matter what tactics change? Like strategy-wise, what are some things that never change no matter what platform you're on?
Yeah, the biggest one I can think of is telling a story. I think people really connect with stories. If you ever heard of Donald Miller, he has a podcast and a book called Story Brand, which I think everyone should read and everyone should listen to that podcast, because it's all about the like journey of someone, whether it's the hero. And there's all these, it's kind of like when I went to film school, we learned about how to write a script, how to write a screenplay. And there's actually all these like things that you should hit along the way to make it a good story. Stories sell also. If you tell a story about, if someone tells a story about you, if you tell a story and then relate it back to a call to action, even if it's a video, if it's a text post, if it's a podcast, that will work like 90% of the time. I was working with a copywriter. And so like just knowing that people connect to things that they connect to. And if they feel like, you know, think about the last time you bought something. Why did you buy that specific thing? Was it the story? Or was it the product? Was it the price? Why did you buy it? Did somebody tell you you should get it? Was it a referral? You know, just thinking about those things, I think, is something that I try to do a lot. And sometimes I forget about, oh yeah, people actually do care about what I'm talking about, or they want to hear a story. Today's podcast episode that I put out was with a friend I've known since kindergarten. And that was the first time I'd ever had someone on who has known me before Twin Cities Collective. So that was interesting for me to be like, hey, remember that time in kindergarten? You know? So it's definitely those stories that I sometimes forget people didn't know me my whole life. So it's just something, I think people really connect with stories, and social media is a great way to share those stories.
To tell stories. I love that. I feel like there's so many people who have gone away from that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually making some big pivots in my approach of what I'm going to be sharing. I think there have been some things that I was calculating of how I want to position it or whatever it is. Mm. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
If there's one person that hears or connects with my voice, my story, that's all I care about. So I love that you said that. It's just so, so important. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you and I touched upon this earlier before we started recording this. And it's the an observation that some people really have a hard time mental health wise with social media, specifically with Instagram.
Yeah.
Whether it's FOMO or they just feel like not very good about themselves after they have been on it. And you have some thoughts about that. I would love for you to share because it affects me as well. Mm-hmm. I've just been unfollowing or I feel like I need to step away from Instagram very often.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a series on my podcast about this, and I haven't ever, I don't think I've maybe talked about it a couple times on my stories, but not in a really long, you know, drawn out podcast episode. And, you know, it's funny because I look back at my college, I actually wrote a paper my senior year on how Facebook affects your self-esteem. That was my like senior thesis in my communications. Like that is so weird. Like that, like it even back then affected, me and affected other people. And Facebook I think is better than Instagram. I feel like Instagram is like literally like everything is goals and everything is super curated. And I do think a lot of people, they start to, just look at other people and it's that comparison game. People are like, why? Oh, I should be doing more. You know, this person's life is so perfect. But, there's one story that I think I posted on Facebook where this woman was at a pool with her kids and she saw another woman with her daughter and they were dressed in matching swimsuits. And this woman was like posing her daughter and like posing herself for these like Instagram photos. And then the daughter was like, mommy, can we go in the pool and play? And the mom's just like ignoring the daughter. And she's just trying to get her perfect Instagram life together. And this other mom's just watching this whole situation being like, that's so sad. Like, why would, you know? So it's just like, sometimes what you see isn't true. You see like the highlight reel and you're not seeing the behind the scenes. And I do think that Instagram is kind of going in a new direction of being more authentic. Stories are a great way to actually show what's going on that day. And I think more people are getting comfortable being like, hey, my life's not perfect. And I feel like there's this shift in kind of the cultural mindset of maybe I don't have to come across as perfect all the time because people actually relate more to the vulnerable side. So I don't know. I think personally, I always look at Instagram that way. It's like, I know that this person doesn't have a great life. Like they make it look like it, but I just know, maybe I just know people so well that I just see beyond that. And I'm like, I don't know if that's actually true. And so it doesn't affect me and my mental health as much as it might affect someone else who can't see past that perfection and being like, you know, and putting that back on themselves. It has to do with how you see the platform. And I just see the platform and I follow the people that inspire me, not the ones that make me jealous. Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of mentioned that unfollowing the ones that every time you look at them, you're like, oh man, it makes me hate my life. Don't follow those people. Mm-hmm. Like I try to put out there real stuff. And I hope that that keeps people following me. Cause I'm like, I'm not saying my life is perfect. I've never said that. And I never try to make it look that way. And so I think, honestly, I follow the people that I inspire to be like, but also I see those sides of them that I'm like, I know they're not perfect.
Yeah. I just get frustrated with when I see things people are posting and I know them or of them and I know it's not true. And I get so mad because I like, they're just, I think there's lack of integrity. And to me, I think it's horrendous what's being done. So that's why I just get put off. And like, I don't even want to be part of this.
Yeah. I think it's funny because when I tell people that I've never met, like what I do, I'm sure they like start to build an image in their head of, oh, she has Instagram. Like that sounds so like, I don't know, just not, I don't know. It just seems very cliche and very, surface level. And I'm like, no, I teach people how to use Instagram for marketing purposes. Like I don't do, like, I'm not a fashion blogger. Like I'm not someone that it's all about me, you know? And I feel like what both of us do is we service others. And I think that's what you have to think about the platform is it, sure, you have to talk about yourself because people need to know who you are, but that's not the main point. The main point is how can we help you as a business owner and not as someone who just, I hate to say it, wants to be an influencer and just wants to, because to me, real influence is when you actually make a good thing for someone else and not just be like, here's the clothes I bought. I don't know. Personally, I'm just, I don't want to offend anyone. I think that there's bigger things to life than fashion and certain things. I just personally feel like I would rather help someone with their life than I don't know. And I don't, again, I don't want to offend anyone. That's just my personally. That's why I never went into fashion. So
here's the thing, is because you and I are not obsessed with fashion. I mean, like,
mm-hmm. you know, yeah.
I'm happy if I put two colors together than that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I think that there are certain people for whom fashion is life. The same way mm-hmm. there are people who for whom pets are life. Like, yeah. I never have a pet.
Exactly.
So I think it's just what you're passionate about.
Yeah, exactly.
And where you feel you're going to make the most difference. Mm-hmm. And you have really found, I feel like you're truly living your purpose. And that continues to mm-hmm. evolve for sure. So I want to touch very briefly on video marketing, because you are an absolute pro when it comes to video marketing. What are some of the tips about, you know, producing or like marketing, telling your story through video today?
Yeah, it's funny because I went to school for video, and it's just, I feel like I've been doing it for so long, but I don't really think about it that much, like in terms of the I just love to make videos. That's really my passion, is the behind the scenes, is the filming, is the editing, is the coming up with, you know, fun graphics and just kind of piecing it together like a puzzle. I've always thought videos were like a puzzle piece. I always loved puzzles. Literally as a kid, I would love getting 500 piece puzzles and just spending hours solving them. And that's kind of what I figured video to be, is it's these bunch of different pieces that you've recorded and how do they fit together to make something that people want to watch. And so I think honestly, I'm the kind of person that wants to make it the best video ever. I'll do so much editing to it, but most people don't have the time or the skills to do that. So I think just making sure that the content looks good, sounds good, and has a good message. It's easy to understand, and it's something that will actually make people want to click on something or do something. Otherwise, there's different types of videos. There's a video where you're just talking about something and explaining it versus one that's actually to market something and getting them to actually sell a product. I think there's a difference in types of videos. Lately, I've been wanting to do more of the conversion sales videos because I feel like those are worth my time. If I can actually make money from the video content I'm making, I feel like it's worth my time to do. Sometimes if you're just creating content to create content, I'm like, you could just write a blog post or you could create a podcast episode. I just feel like sometimes I worry I put too much free content out there. And sometimes I'm like, but how do I make this into a sale? And that's something I've been struggling with over the last year, is how do I make this into a sale from what I'm telling people?
I love that. But ultimately, I think the sale, creating mm-hmm. something to sell that will change someone's life. But yeah. How many lives and businesses have mm-hmm. been changed through your service?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. This is a curveball question. If all of it were to go away, mm-hmm. City Collective, and you have to start all over again, what would you start?
Where would I start, or what would I do? Or
what would you do? Where would you start?
Well, it's nice because I've connected with a lot of these people in person. So like if for some reason my Instagram got deleted or something, I would just start a new one. And I, you know, the thing about me is I've saved every piece of content I've ever done. So like I can just start posting it again. I can start growing it again. I can invite all the people I've met over the years to be like, hey, we're starting anew, you know, something happened. So for me, it's like if people, there's a lot of people that follow me that have never joined our group, have never been to an event. They're just following me and they don't even know who I am. It's the people that get past that first point of follow into the Facebook group, onto my email list. People that have taken second steps to actually be involved in the community are the ones that are going to come back. They're the ones that are going to join the Facebook group again. They're going to be the ones that follow me. So for me, my biggest thing right now is how do I get people past that first step of a follow into my community and into maybe potentially being a customer? One of the things that I read about recently that I'm starting to do is actually right when someone follows me, send them a message on Instagram saying, thank you so much for following. And then I was reading, don't actually just send them like an invite to the group. Just ask them like, how can I help you today? Because that's actually really good market research. It shows that they actually, you care, and that maybe they'll ask more questions that they thought, oh, I thought this was just an Instagram account. I didn't realize there was somebody behind it, that there was this group behind it. Because a lot of people do that. They follow us and then never look at it again. And I'm like, okay, or they come across it once every couple months and they never realize what it is until they actually look into it.
There's an actual community behind social media.
Sometimes people follow us for like a year and have no idea that we have a Facebook group. And I'm like, that is like my biggest call to action, is to join the Facebook group. Cause once they do, they realize there's so much more that we offer. And I think for me, getting 15,000 people to join a Facebook group is a lot of work. And we've got about 3,000 people in the Facebook group. And I'm like, why aren't all 15,000 people in there? You know, so it's figuring out like, what is that misdirect of getting more people involved? The more people that join the Facebook group, they see all of the amazing things that other people are doing. I just think that the Facebook group honestly is the best way to actually meet and connect with people.
Hands down, but you know, I don't have a Facebook
account. I know.
For me, there's like, I don't, there's people like me who are really weird for just and like not on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I'm sorry.
I also found that very odd that you didn't have Facebook. I don't know. I just personally thought that was interesting. So
I know it is odd. I just never joined. I have a business page, but I don't have, I don't use Facebook. I find it, it never clicked. I don't understand.
Interesting.
I know. I love that.
that's sorry. I probably said that weird, but you know, it's just, I would maybe challenge you to maybe just create a business profile for yourself. It doesn't have to post anything personal, and then just join the group and be able to actually, I don't know. I just feel like you could do it just like you do Instagram. I feel like it could be something new to try.
I have a business profile page.
No, I meant like a personal page, but it's like, you don't post anything on it. You just use it to be able to join groups and stuff. So like, that's something I think you should do.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. You should do it.
I'm going to follow through on this. I take my medicine as I tell people. What is your big vision with Twin Cities Collective, Jenna?
So this is a question I was asked recently and I freaked out because I was like, I don't know. And it's funny because I don't like to think long-term personally. My life changes so fast, and like a month, you know, from now I'll be completely different. I feel like anytime I plan something too far out, things change and I can't, you know, but I do think that I want to continue to grow it in a way that eventually I'll have a team. Eventually I'll be able to create more content. I really like creating content and I really like coaching as well. You know, keep growing the podcast, I would love to write a book at some point. That is definitely on my list. But I think just continuing to grow consistently. You know, I look at people like Jenna Kutcher or Rachel Hollis, Gary Vaynerchuk. Those are like the people that I see. They spent like 3 or 4 or 5 years just growing every day, and then something happened and they just took off, like in terms of popularity. And I feel like that's going to happen to me at some point. And so I want to be ready for that, because once you go viral, or once something clicks with people and it gets big, you need to be ready. And those people were, because they had spent so much time preparing for that success.
Is it important that you go viral?
No, but I do think that there is like a, it's like that, what's that, that, you know, the thing where there's just usually like the tipping point. I don't know if you ever read that book, but there's a tipping point. I don't know if that's the virality, but I feel like there's a point where something happens and things just exponentially grow. I mean, I don't know. I just find that that's true with a lot of people. It could be a specific post, but it could just be something random that happens, or you say the right thing and people really respond, and then all of a sudden you have all these people already that are responding, so they're all sharing it. So I think it comes to a point where you're going to hit a tipping point. And I feel like, I don't know, that's just something I think will happen.
I know that it will happen, but to me, looking from the outside, I would say, wow, you have already achieved so much.
That's true.
And there's a moment to say, like, look at what I have created already, which I think, I don't know, like, from what? I have been in this, running my own business for a decade, and I think you've done something absolutely remarkable at your age.
Thank you.
So, okay, really quick questions.
Yeah.
Best book?
I feel like one that I've read in the last year was The E-Myth. I don't know if people have read that. Have you read that?
I have. Very good.
That was one that I think helped me think about things differently. Another one is You Are a Badass at Making Money. That's a really good one too. I really like that one.
By Jen Zizero. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Life is, finish the sentence.
I think it is a journey and not a destination. I really am the kind of person that will, I like to take in every day and actually appreciate it. I feel like I am very grateful, and I feel like I really don't take things for granted a lot, because I know I'm very fortunate with what I have. And so I think life is something to be appreciated.
I love that. It's really beautiful. My current struggle is?
Time management and figuring out what I want to do, obviously. Figuring out my direction.
I think that summarizes every entrepreneur out there.
Yeah.
Right? Having faith means?
I saw this question. Well, I'm a very faithful person in my personal life, and it's something that I rely on a lot, and it's something that I just feel like everything will happen for a reason. I've always believed that my whole life. I think that there's hard things that happen, but when you look back on them, it was for a reason, and it was something that was meant to happen. I feel like there's been so many things in my life that in the moment wasn't great, but afterwards I'm like, I know that was why that happened. So I think looking at things from a that should have happened perspective, and knowing that things will work out. And that to me is what faith is knowing that, I don't know, life's not after you. Like it's going to help you. I don't know. I just feel like that.
I love that. Like everything that happens for you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Best advice I was ever given.
Well, I was thinking about best advice you've ever given me, because I feel like that, I don't know, one of the things that you told me that stuck with me for a long time was you can't just talk about something once. You have to talk about it a lot because people will miss it. And it really stuck with me because I was always afraid I was going to say, if I said it once, people would be sick of it already. And so I think the biggest thing I've learned from you is you have to keep talking about it until you're blue in the face, because people will not listen sometimes, or they just miss it, or they, you know, they're just browsing, you know? And so they have to, once they see it and click with it, then they'll actually take action. So that's good advice from you.
I love that so much, because this is one of those pieces where I feel like I want to shake everyone and say, you have to keep repeating what you stand for. And this makes me so, so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that I believe that one conversation can change so much in our business.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that for sure.
Saying that, Jenna, mm-hmm. where can people find you?
Yeah.
Is there anything coming up that's so exciting? I know you have events coming up. You have courses on your website. Anything that we need to know about?
Well, if you're in the Twin Cities, I would recommend following all the Twin Cities Collective stuff. So we only allow local people. It's just kind of how the group works. So unfortunately, if you aren't living here, maybe you want to move here so you can be part of the group. but it's twincitiescollective.com gets you to my email, to all of our social media, to the Facebook group. But also my personal Instagram is Jenna Redfield. I also have my own personal Facebook page, which is kind of weird because I don't really post on it a lot. I don't know why I have it, but it's mostly to send my Instagram posts to. But yeah, so if you want to follow my Facebook page, I guess, too, if you want. Or LinkedIn. Add me on LinkedIn. That's another way. I love adding people on LinkedIn.
That's great. Do you have any events coming up?
So we're taking the summer off of events because, again, mental health. I need a break. But I'm hoping in September to do one, probably another workshop. And then in December, we're for sure going to do our Best of Awards again. So last Christmas, we did our big awards for the Best of Awards I came up with. And this year, I want to make it really big, maybe like a couple hundred people potentially, and have a big awards ceremony and actually do like a actual award show or something. Oh, I don't
that's
know.
Really cool. That's really exciting. That's really exciting. Well, people can come to you for the photography, for mm-hmm. marketing, anything else you're passionate about.
So I just redid my services a little bit. If you are local, I am starting to do more video again. So if you do need like a video promo, I do brand photography as well as like flat lay styled stock photography. And then coaching, I do not just Instagram now. I also just do general social media. And the other thing I really want to start doing is more website design. I know it sounds weird. It's like a lot of things, but you kind of need all of that when you're launching a business. And I love creating Squarespace websites. I'm actually doing one right now and I'm really excited about it. So if you just need any like marketing help, just reach out to me. I do like 2-hour consults and then I can do like longer stuff as well. So
I love it. You are a renaissance all, a woman of so many things, and I am just so really happy to call you.
Yeah. And oh, you too.
I thank you for who you are in our community and what you do. And I'm just really, really grateful you took the time to talk to me.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means the world. Please share with anyone that might find this useful and go ahead to all iTunes stations and please give us a 5-star rating. So much love for you all. Please, please, please know that everything can be different. You're worthy. You're good enough. And let's up level together.